Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, it is the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, where apparently Ja Morant is human. The Grizzlies playing for the 11th straight night, losing to the Mavericks 93-77. Little under 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Morant 19, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. But it has been all Luka Doncic. He is one assist away from a triple-double, 25-10-9 for the Mavericks, who look like they're going to win this one. We've seen comes back before led by Ja Morant, but clearly it looks like the Mavericks are going to finally get the best of Ja Morant, and his MVP candidacy will continue on. It just won't be growing exponentially after tonight's game, while it has been growing exponentially the last few nights.
Been a ridiculous run for them, and we joke about, hey, they're playing nightly, but it does seem like they've had a very rigorous schedule the last 2 weeks or so, you know, since we really started pushing the envelope and making sure that that name was celebrated, even long before the block seen round the world. We were on board and trying to build the bandwagon. But you look at the game Luka's played tonight, and Dallas just much more efficient, tired legs, it seems, at time for members of the Grizz. And, like, streaks have to die at some point. So why not on national television when folks are finally tuning in to sit down and watch them? You know, just like the Bulls getting drummed by the Warriors before. Wow, this is one of the great stories of the new season. Look, we got the Bulls, and then coming up with the winning streak, it's the Grizzlies. And then they both suck.
Hey, wait, how did that – but Tysha, do we have – how did that Bulls game end tonight for Chicago? Can we hear?
Your final will be 138-96.
Okay. Oh, that's it. That's
you
all we
sounded
get.
Thrilled.
That's it.
I'm sure that wasn't someone on a cell phone. And look, we didn't really get the call, so one of our editors went into the courtyard and just
look. We're
it
doing the
it.
Game oh, remotely. All right, this is a blowout. I'm ready. I'm done. It was a bad game. I don't want to talk about this anymore. There's your final. I'm walking away.
It sounds like he's in a van. Where's he at? He goes, oh, he's outside a bar. Okay.
I'm done with it. Well, yeah. 138.
Game sucked. The whole team sucked. The night sucked. Everything sucked. Back to you in the studio. I'm in the bag.
That sounds like the end of a Bears game analysis by some of the local hosts in Chicago.
Could you believe what we had go on today? And it's going to kill. We're still going to have Nagy. I know they fired him, but they're going to bring him in. He's going to wear a disguise, and he's going to come in an interview, and he's going to tell everybody he's Todd Bowles, and they're going to hire him. He's going to take off his mustache and his fake beard and go, ah, it's me. And then it's going to be Trubisky again. We're just going to continue to repeat the past mistakes.
But you had the story on The Athletic today. That wasn't bad. That wasn't half bad. Of all of the issues and problems that have gone through, and you take it with a grain of salt because, you know, who's feeding the information, where you're getting it, but you had a number of people that have been around the organization that corroborated some of it and just the general attitude of Matt Nagy. The one that, and I sent this to you in Frostburg earlier, but bring it to air, is the fact after the 2019 season, it was, all right, here's Mitchell Trubisky. I've got all my notes of, all right, here's things I think we can do to work to get better, and we have an appointment, and then Nagy no-showed on him.
Mm.
So, hey, for everybody that wants to prop him up as a good guy, if that he's I don't know how you refute that, but if that's even got a hint of legitimacy to it, and I don't see why you wouldn't believe it, but for those that want to stand for Matt Nagy, Riddle me that. Explain that to me.
Oh, I know I was supposed to go there. Yeah, that's my bad, Mitchell. Yeah, that's yeah. I'll see you next. Look, we're cutting this guy. We're done.
Or
yeah,
I mean, no, in the middle of practice.
I'll be there with you.
Yeah, I mean, reports that he's at practice and saying, look, this doesn't work.
Mm.
You know, something in the, you know, patterns and the play designs. And so that also drew the ire of Lord Nagy during his time and further created a separation.
I like that you're still trying to make Mitchell Trubisky happen, buddy. I like that.
It's not really a function of that, but they're inextricably linked forever. And those are pretty juicy stories when you got a guy who overall went 29-21 for your organization and yet has been laid out by local media as well as, you know, the national folks who check in once in a while as, you know, one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the world, you know, because of that one primetime game that they watched while still trying to prop up Nagy's offense just because he came out of Kansas City.
That's it, buddy. I get it. It's still not happening. You're not. If you can somehow make Mitchell Trubisky happen, he should give you money from whatever contract he signs next.
3%.
It's not. That's. I told you, 3% is that magic number, right? It's not asking for a lot. 3%
Look,
is okay.
Man, it goes back to the conversation we had yesterday. You go through the list of quarterbacks that are going to be available.
Yeah.
He ain't very low on that list.
No, you're talking about Garoppolo most likely in a trade because the Niners have to move on and move to Trey Lance next year. Mike White and Marcus Mariota, and then you're at Mitchell Trubisky.
You're putting Marcus Mariota ahead of him and Mike White. Mike White.
Listen,
come on,
listen. Who? Come on. Who's played
Get
better the last
here.
Year and a half? Trubisky or Mike White? Mike White. Mike White's had he had a 400-yard game. Come on,
away.
Man. Mike White was. I'm sorry. Mike White is better. Look, I got Trubisky on the list.
He's
on the list.
Mike White.
I got him on the list when he's ahead of Trubisky. I'm sorry.
Who's this guy under center? It's Mike White.
The way he hands off in relief of Josh Allen is fantastic. No, Mike White's dynamic. He had a 400-yard game. He beat the Bengals. Come on, it happens. He had a great three quarters against the Colts. Come on, it's Mike White. I'm sorry, Mike White's better. He's got a better time. He's got a better chance. I got Trubisky on the list, though.
I'm going to cut off your microphone.
He's just below the other ones.
I'm going to Jedi mind trick your microphone off.
Now, speaking of the Bulls who suddenly suck, looks like we're going to get a good bill of health from Zach LaVine. He left tonight's game after 4 minutes with a knee injury, but according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Bulls are pretty confident that it is not a serious knee injury because clearly the Bulls have been the best team in the Eastern Conference up until the last two games. They will need him. But the Warriors tonight is the story, and the reason it is because Steve Kerr may have really screwed up. When Klay Thompson first came back, it was tailor-made to have Klay come back in a way in which nothing would be disrupted, right? Klay Thompson hasn't played in 2 years, right? He's coming back. You don't know what you're going to get. How is he going to be able to withstand the rigors? What's he going to be able to do? It's easy to bring him off the bench for a few minutes a game because the Warriors have no issues right now. They're beating everybody, right? Warriors are fantastic. Their bench is great. They've gotten incredible jumps this year from Jordan Poole in year three and Andrew Wiggins, who is much more confident and playing his best basketball. And so it was easy, right? Hey, Klay can come off the bench, see what he is. He maybe plays just a few minutes here. And as time goes on, if it merits, yes, then you can put him back in the starting lineup. I get what he meant as the Splash Brothers, but he's been away for 2 years. And I'm sorry, but the NBA is today, and it's this season, and the Warriors are great. Since he's come back, the Warriors lost two of the first three games he played. He doesn't play tonight. Watching the Warriors play when Klay played, it's not that Klay was playing poorly, but to get him the shots, Jordan Poole's got to come off the bench. He did not affect the games when he was coming off the bench. Andrew Wiggins was not nearly as aggressive as he has been, and so the Warriors lose two out of their three games with Klay. Tonight, Klay doesn't play because you were talking about a planned day off for him, and what happens? Poole is back in the starting lineup. He is a team best plus 38, right? He goes for 22-5. All right. Andrew Wiggins goes for 21 points. He's 8 out of 11 from the floor. He was aggressive, and the Warriors were up at halftime in this game 79-47. It was a blowout of the highest proportions, and Steph Curry just had an okay game with 19 points. This was a huge, huge statement by the Warriors. And now this is where things get difficult because if this is how it's going to go,
Guess who's got to go, can come off the bench now? Klay Thompson. What kind of conversation is that going to be? How is that going to play with the Warriors? I don't know why Steve Kerr felt the need to, we got to put him back in the starting lineup. Because clearly so far, they are better when he is not in the starting lineup. And now you've created a thing. Because at some point, if this is how it goes, you got to say, hey, Klay, sorry, man, but I know we took, but now you got to come off the bench. Now you've hurt his image. Now you've hurt his legacy of, oh, now you got to go back and come off the bench now. When all they had to do was bring him off the bench to start, no one would say anything. It would have been fine. Klay would have been able to come off and play his minutes, and as it merited, then you get back into the starting lineup. Everybody would have been fine, but the whole, we're going to put you right back in to start, now look where they are. Now they're kind of stuck, and now another couple of games like this, and it's, maybe Poole needs to start, and he needs to play 30-some-odd minutes. We need this. We need Andrew Wiggins to be aggressive because it's not working as well when it's just Steph and Klay in the backcourt. Now it becomes a thing, and this could have been so easily avoided by the Warriors, but they decided we got to put Klay back in the starting lineup, and as you can see so far, that hasn't been the right decision.
20 minutes per night and, averaging 14 points per game. And you get into the idea of easing a guy back in, right? Snap counts and minutes restrictions and all of those things that we see depending on the sport. And then there's the other school of thought of, if he's ready to go, he's ready to go. Right? If he's going to play, then let's just throw him in, like a rookie quarterback. All right, he's going into the fire. We'll build a game plan as best we can and work from there. For Klay Thompson, decided coming back in. And I firmly believe a lot of it has to do with going through the whole ego and pride and all of those fun words nobody wants to talk about. But when a guy is like how prideful they are and being out on the court or being on the field, this also works negatively sometimes in that you may have the temporary disruption of what's actually working. And that's the case here with the Warriors. A lot of Klay Thompson's off season as he was doing rehabilitation was being pissed that he wasn't on the All-75 team. If I had a nickel for every time he's brought it up, motivation, all those things. And I get it. He's battling back from two very serious injuries, and he laid it out, and the legacy of what that Warriors squad was, the first era of Dynasty, and people going, maybe this could be part two if it works and breaks correctly. But for him, he's thinking, that's probably as good as it's going to get. We might be able to do some cool things. All our principal pieces, sans Kevin Durant, are still here. So we might be able to get something done. Obviously, the bench and everything. But the core three guys are still there that you're hopeful for another run. But you're also wanting to make sure you get every bit of recognition for what was accomplished. And with that All-75, it clearly bothered him. So when it came to getting back on the court, Steve Kerr is like, all right, what's it worth for me? Maybe we take our lumps as guys readjust to roles. Because let's face it, if Klay Thompson's right, Jordan Poole's going to have to recognize and get back into, the sixth man. Or maybe you tweak the lineup to where you can still fit him in. Wiggins has always been an 18-point guy. He's just been more efficient and I think just playing cleaner basketball this year. And you clearly don't want to disrupt that because remember, once upon a time, everybody's like, all right, just trade him off. He's just a guy. No, he's not just a guy. And I never thought he was, but the narrative was, he's disposable and perhaps proving himself not to be quite so much this year. But for Klay, as you said, he's already gone. They've already gone too far because you've already started him. Now you're going to tell him to go off the bench. Yeah, that'll go over well.
Now you're stuck.
It was right. It was so you were feeding the ego, and now you have to continue because otherwise you risk the blowback.
It was so avoidable. Now, hey, you can fall this under the category of good problems to have, but not when a star player is chafing because now he's coming off the bench. Because it's one thing to do it and say, okay, come off now, I understand. Because look, NBA stars, they really want to know that their standing in the NBA is a high one. They're worried about what the perception of them is. They're worried about what people think about them. They're worried about what other players think about them. Hey, I'm a starter, man. the best thing would have been the other way around. And now Steve Kerr's got to figure something out, because I know it's a small sample size and it's been four games, but this has been a pretty big four games to see a lot of things that are working and not working. So by the time you get to another four games from here, Steve Kerr's going to have, hey, Clay, you want to come in here for a second? Oh boy. Okay. So we got to have a conversation here about things. Yeah. I do not want to be there for that. And I do not want to be there to see how that winds up affecting the Warriors.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, I got to tell you, Mike, I started something today. I didn't know that I was going to do it. I couldn't resist. I bent to the will. I started playing Wordle.
Oh.
I started playing Wordle. I love Wordle
games. You also became one of the sheeple. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love word games. I do crosswords all the time and words with friends all the time. And I'm like, okay, what is this Wordle that everybody's doing? So I check it out. I go, oh, that's pretty cool. That's like a fun 5 to 7 minutes a day. I'm like, okay, and now I'm excited about tomorrow. And now I'm thinking, why don't they just put out previous Wordles that you can do? You don't have to worry about posting your score or telling your friends how you did, which is what everybody's doing on Facebook and social media. Why can't you have Wordle from the past? Why it's got to be one word a day? Why can't you just have, hey, here's your Wordle for today, post your score, everything else. But Wordles from previous days, you can still work on. I would kind of like previous Wordles.
See if they've trademarked and registered Wordles.
I mean,
and then you can put out as many as you want. Hey, this looks a lot like Wordle. Yeah, we just do them more frequently.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I don't understand why, because I get the whole hook of it is it's one word a day and you try to figure out the puzzle. I get it. But, when I sit down to play, okay, that's great. I want another one. What do you mean you want another one? I want another one. No, you can't. Well, why can't I?
7 minutes. It's time to move on to something else.
Right, but
just
what about
schedule it in your day. Put it in your planner.
What about later on in the day, though? What if I say, okay, that was a good 7 minutes.
Find something else to do.
I got another 7 minutes. But what if I found what I want to do for 7 minutes? I got Wordle.
You know what you can do with those 7 minutes? Find dopes on Twitter or your Facebook /Meta or whatever the hell we're calling it, or anywhere else your friends and family might be posting it. Maybe you just start texting. My score is this. What'd you get, dirtbag? That's how you spend 7 minutes.
Boy, well, I'm just looking to play a game. You're looking to be negative and to tamp down people that you know. I'm better than you.
It's all about? Sure. Look at my score. Because isn't that what you're really doing? You might as well have an extra text box that says "eat it" underneath it. I mean,
this is where I showed great restraint today. Okay, because today was my first Wordle. My wife, I said, okay, so we tried it, and I got it in 3 moves. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. And I played on hard mode.
So
and
it's like, word name that tune.
Right. Well, not quite. It's very easy. Once you see it, you understand. Okay, now I understand. And it was all I could do to not get on Facebook and tweet, this was my Wordle. Because everybody else, here's what I did. I'm pretty happy. I did it. I got it in 6. I got it 5 out of 6. I'm here. I'm like, I got it in 3. And I was like, do I do it? And like my finger was twitching. It was over the button like share. Share on Facebook. Do I share? Do I share? No, I'm
Why
not going to do
not?
I'm not going to be that guy. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I said
draw
it here
a nice
on the show.
Picture
I could
of a
do
peacock
it.
Next to it.
I don't know that I wanted to be that guy. I mean, here I am being that guy on the show with you now. But I don't know that I wanted to be that guy like with my family. Look, my family knows I'm the smartest one in the family, so it's okay. But I don't know if I wanted to be that guy. I don't know.
For 20-plus really years, tough. You went to Detroit for the holidays.
Yeah, because you know what my
you
big thing
is? Lost.
You already lost. You know
you
what my big thing is?
The smartest guy in the room, Ken.
No. Because here's how I win. Whenever we're sitting around, I go, all right, raise your hand if you graduated college in 4 years. Oh, how come I'm the only one with a hand up? Why am I the only one with a hand up? Why is it just me? I don't understand.
Come on, get those fours up.
Get
those fours up.
Get them four. Not so fast for you. You were 4.5. No, you took an extra semester. I remember. You took that extra semester. You were lucky to walk. You were happy to walk at graduation, and you had to go. I remember. I was there. I mean, they already know, but still, it was really difficult because I wanted to put that out there. But
and you just did to a global audience.
Well, now I'm trying to solve issues. I'm trying to get more people more Wordle games. Why can't we go back and do previous Wordle games?
I think this should be a poll question.
I don't know why.
Or maybe some kind of online petition.
I don't know why.
You should give me more content.
I get the whole – I understand the, hey, the Spartan less is more approach because mm-hmm. with so, hey, there's all these rules. You can play this, and sometimes it gets so overwhelming. People just – look, it's enough. I just want 5 minutes for something. But it's like, okay, so here we're giving you 5 minutes. Oh, great. The rules are really easy. It's all right, great, because I can pick up the game right away. Because I think that's the key, is always picking up the game right away. I can do it right enough to worry about nuancing it. Am I going to fit? Do I like it? Do I not? I didn't do well. I got to sit through all these ads. But a little bit more, if I like it, I can get – a little bit more of it, you know, when I want to, or at least give me 5 days. You get 5 days back or something like that. It's something where you can give me a little bit more of it.
Was Wordle an original Pokemon character? Tyshirt?
One more time?
Was Wordle an original Pokemon character?
Weedle is.
Weedle? Okay. I know Squirtle.
Yep, Squirtle is.
All right. I just thought I'd throw it out there. I mean,
Snorlax
maybe
is, sure. Charizard and Mega Charizard.
I'm sorry, Charizard what?
The Sarlacc. The Rancor, right? That was another
sure,
one?
Yeah, sure,
okay,
sure,
very
sure.
Good. Okay, all right.
Psy Snoodles, absolutely all of them.
You gave me a Psy Snoodles. Not even a Salacious Crumb. You gave me a Psy
Snoodles.
Well,
Salacious Crumb is a whole
nice.
Other... I mean, that's a whole other world. If I could have the marketing rights, I could make him legendary. No ancillary character here. They'd move in. That would be the next Star Wars series.
But I think Psy Snoodles was a woman, though.
No, I meant Salacious Crumb.
Salacious Crumb. Salacious Crumb could have been a woman. You don't know. That's all Salacious Crumb did.
Not in my series. Not in my vision. There's a whole other side.
You see that I've been working on my Salacious Crumb impression.
Yeah, I think that's a little frightening. Between that, I mean, that's how you spend 7 minutes instead of a second Wordle.
So speaking of second Wordles, how about now we give you our upset special picks for this weekend in the National Football League. 24-13 I was this year.
Nice.
Pretty happy with that. I thought it was going to be even better, but I kind of hit into a rut middle of the season. But my first one I'm going to give you is give me Pittsburgh, and I'll take that 13 points over Kansas City. Pittsburgh's defense is playing at a really high level. They will slow the Chiefs down. The Chiefs look great, but the Chiefs still have issues. No Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They're going to have a difficult time trying to run the football. And Pittsburgh, even if they don't score points, because they're not going to score, because that's not the offense, maybe Juju Smith-Schuster comes back. That's a big boost. They're still going to be able to control the football and go on their 25-play, 26-yard drives, and suddenly 8 minutes is gone in the third quarter. That's going to be too much. 13 points is way, way, way too much. Pittsburgh's going to use that Tampa Bay Super Bowl blueprint of we can get pressure on Patrick Mahomes with our front line. We don't have to worry about blitzing a ton. This is how we're going to do it easily. Give me Pittsburgh in the 13 over Kansas City.
Yeah, that one I like a lot as well. Long, protracted drives. And I think the creativity of the playbook, I think this is where potentially you have some fun, right? The idea that you empty the chamber, any trick play you've ever thought of, and run once in practice, bring back. If Juju Smith-Schuster is healthy, and we talked about it last night, all the players surprised he was available for the workout and that he got through it and looked good, I think there's fun. I've already given you the 49ers, so I moved past that. I'm going to Monday Night Football. We'll be on live and in living color for the second half of this one as the Cardinals and their fans come to SoFi. Kelly Stafford already going, please, Matthew can't deal with a silent count. 49.5, the total, the Cardinals +4. The big story of this is whether how much you have of J.J. Watt, right, might be available here to help on the defensive front, which would be really an amazing thing. And let's face it, he loves storybooks as much as Ben Roethlisberger does. Mm-hmm. So he'll be on that field in some capacity, I have no doubt. But how much they're getting out of Connor and Edmonds. If Connor is closer to the guy that we've seen in the past and the goal line threat that he's been throughout the year. Cardinals could win this one, maybe convincingly, as they get after Matthew Stafford. So I'm going to take the Cardinals on the road plus the four. Get in under $70 right now here in Los Angeles, which means a lot of folks will make that nice drive or that out, take that hour flight from Arizona to get in here.
So there's our first two upset special picks. My second one, I'm going to take the points, and I'm going to say it happens on the field. I'm still going to take the points, though, because, you know, I'm not stupid.
Okay, what do you got?
Give me the Eagles over Tampa Bay. All right, Tampa Bay is treading water. They have issues on offense. Their top two receivers are not going to play in this game. Antonio Brown is gone. Godwin is hurt. He's done. They are having a lot of trouble moving the football. Right? They needed every bit of Tom Brady to escape against the Jets, which has one of the most historically worst defenses of all time next to last week of the regular season. They're also struggling to run the football a bit. Philadelphia's defense is great against the run. Philadelphia is going to be able to run. Miles Sanders says, I'm playing in this game, and the number one rushing offense in the NFL is going to be humming. They will keep the ball away from Tampa Bay. Hurts is going to exhaust Tampa Bay's defense. It is my upset special of the weekend. I'm going to take the 8.5 points, but I'm going to say the Eagles do it on the field. Tampa Bay not coming into the playoffs like they were last year, where it was, boy, they got it working and firing on all cylinders. They're just trying to stay afloat week to week right now and hoping that that big switch flips. It is not the same team as it was last year. You're going to see that on Sunday. Eagles win on the field, but I'm still going to take the 8.5 points.
Oh, yeah, the 8.5. I like that, but I'll take the Bucs to win that one. Rain for that one. No Ronald Jones, no Cyril Grayson hero that you've seen, but Leonard Fournette and Lavonte David do return to action, and if LeGarrette Blount, and I'm assuming if they're clearing him, that he's ready to go and take on his normal workload as a runner. And remember, a big part of that passing game as well. And once he starts running downhill, not a lot of guys, a lot of guys making business decisions. Let's call it what it is when it comes to Leonard Fournette moving at you. Yeah, I've already given you two, but why not a hat trick? Why not a hat trick? We already talked about those Saturday games as you flow. I think I've actually exhausted them, buddy, because we already picked them, and I picked both Cincinnati and Buffalo. Well, no, because I'd given you San Francisco. There was no point in belaboring the point on it.
No, right? That's okay.
As a flow, and I'm like, all right, no. In the early games, going back at the scores I picked, there's no more upset there. Looking for the home teams to take care of business.
But would you pick the Raiders if they had Derrick Henry this week?
If they had Derrick Henry, potentially. Well, I mean, look, Darren Waller does make things interesting, right? Like, how many routes is he able to run? And where's he at physically? Like, that's just a huge question right now for this squad, right? As much as I liked, you know, Forrest coming up and you know, or I should say Foster Moreau. I wanted to get Forrest Gump in somehow. But Foster Moreau has had some pretty big games for them. But outside of Hunter Renfrow, you haven't had a real consistent number two. But if you can get a full game out of Waller to where he's any semblance of the guy that has started each of these last several seasons, then, yeah, you give him a puncher's chance. But I'm still expecting Cincinnati, for the moment, not to be too big for them. As much as I like the job Bisaccia and that coaching staff have done, because it's really been something pretty marvelous for them down the stretch.
So there you go, our upset special picks of the week. Boy, I feel like I'm out there with the Eagles, but the Bucs are just really struggling, man. The Eagles have a lot of confidence. There's no way they're supposed to win this game, right? They already know, hey, it happened to us earlier this year. Look, but Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are going to wind up having to pay him after this game. All right, now we got to keep him. All right, he's good. We got to keep him now. We don't want to. We still don't want to, but we got to keep him. I'm telling you, I like the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Uncle Ricky! Uncle Ricky!
Wait, did you get the email from the Rams as well?
Uncle Ricky!
Nah, halftime performer on Monday Night Football.
Here we go. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Warren G. and Montel Jordan getting it on
Montel
the party
Jordan?
At SoFi.
Wow, they're going to do this, and then that's going to be it.
Well, also in-game interviews you'll hear on the loudspeakers from Torrey Holt and Eric Dickerson, our guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, ED's got a book coming out. I wonder if we get cited in it.
Oh,
for helping him get Jeff Fisher fired.
Chapter 18, I got Jeff Fisher fired with the help of Fox Sports Radio. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, here's your headline from the NFL where you're going to go, wait, what? So Brian Flores has had his first head coaching interview. Fired by the Dolphins earlier this week, he's got his first interview. As tonight, he interviewed with the Houston Texans for the head coaching job.
He already interviewed with the Bears, though, didn't he?
Oh, did he talk to the Bears?
Yeah,
he talked to the Bears already.
Yeah.
Right, his second interview is here is now with the Houston Texans. So he's interviewing with the Texans, and you know Nick Caserio said after the interview, hey, we're looking for a guy with a lot of the qualities that David Culley possessed, the guy they just fired. We love his qualities. We're looking for a lot of them, but you want – no, we don't want him.
We want a guy that has a $17 million check.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. Brian Flores gets great marks from his former players, and the one question I have about Brian Flores is, all right, he hasn't been able to manage upward very well, right? He couldn't get along with his GM or his owner in Miami. And kind of like an Adam Gase way where you get hired again right away, you don't have time to look back and go, okay, maybe I need to do things a little bit differently. It's okay, well, but somebody else knows that I do things the right way, and look what happened to Adam Gase. Not that this is going to happen to Brian Flores, but that's my one question about him, is that he's had no time to look back and go, okay, for my next bite at the apple, which I'm going to get because I was, you know, I won pretty well, and everybody understands the situation I was in there, to go right from one to the other, you don't really learn your lesson. But that's okay. Because Flores is someone who's going to get a gig. This is a horrible match, okay? That this is a horrendous match with the Houston Texans. Because all the Texans want to do is control things there. Where you have an owner that wants to get involved. You have a general manager who wants to get involved. You have other front office personnel that all want to be involved and micromanage. And Brian Flores, who does not do well with that micromanaging, this is going to work. No. Brian Flores needs to be, hey, somewhere where a new GM is coming in, where you're coming in and you have a relationship that comes in where it's not one of those, hey, you're going to do what we tell you, no, the lineup is mine, and all these things that could happen. This is the worst matchup for Brian Flores and the Texans. The Texans want someone who's going to do, hey, you're going to put the lineup, you're going to put the players in that we want in, and you're going to execute, we're going to have a lot of influence here. That is not the match here for Flores and the Texans. Is the worst match you could probably think of.
Well, because he went from the power void, which was filled by Bill O'Brien terribly with the trades and gutting of that roster made, as much as I loved David Johnson once upon a time. If they'd had any semblance of a running game, they might have actually been moderately effective. Rex Burkhead had to become your guy at the end of the year. Smith, That's where you're at with this. Caserio and company. I guess you say, well, there's folks that he would know from New England and whatever, that maybe there's a match there. But I still think there's too much of a disconnect. And really, when we look at the openings across the NFL this time around, where do you think there's any type of functionality where it works? Not to mention most of these teams, you know, you don't have guys that have the well-carved out front office. In many cases, you're replacing both. So interviewing him at this point is kind of a waste in some respect with some of these guys because you're trying to fill that top-down type of strategy and then build from there, and a GM's going to want his guy.
It's a better fit with the Bears, and he interviewed with both teams today. He had two interviews in one day. You kind of like that. Oh, I got the Bears at 9.
Yeah, no, that's efficiency.
I got the Texans. That's way to go.
Bears. You want no part of the Bears.
You don't want a part of any of these jobs, but you got it. No. There's only 32 of them, right? You want one of them. You can't be that choosy.
Go to Houston. I like Davis Mills, but is he a world beater? No.
Man. Twitter it out about a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. More NFL coming up next. We pick the games tomorrow. This is Fox.